Romans chapter 1 together, and we'll start there. I'm going to bounce around a little bit this morning. In case you haven't noticed, in our society, there's a whole lot of discussion, I'll call it discussion, about people who are privileged, or people who perceive other people who are what they would call privileged people. And maybe there's some truth to some of it, but I think there's a lot of extreme discussions about a lot of it for lack of understanding what it really means to be privileged. I'm not going to say that the word privilege doesn't mean anything, and I'm not going to say that there aren't some people throughout the ages who have been more privileged than others for many different reasons. But it just seems to be a lot of discussion about privilege in the world today. And from my perspective, it just seems like something that is to be hated, right? If anyone has privilege, it's a bad thing. If anyone has any kind of privilege, it's a negative thing, according to society. This morning, I'm going to talk about a certain kind of privilege that only comes through Christ. A certain kind of privilege that we ought not to be ashamed of, right? For who we are in Christ, because of the blood of Christ, because of the sacrifice that was freely given so that we could be invited into this privilege. And I almost came to a conclusion that maybe privilege isn't really the right word to talk about what I want to talk about, simply because everyone's invited to be part of it. Everyone's invited to be privileged in this way. Not everybody is, but everyone's invited into salvation. Everyone's invited to be a child of God. Everyone's invited to be blessed by the kingdom of God. Right? And that's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to this certain kind of privilege that we should not be ashamed of. And last Wednesday or the Wednesday before Bible study, we're in 1 Corinthians, and I do when I'm teaching through any of Paul's writings, I think a lot about Paul and about how he wrote and why he wrote things and how he went about his ministry when he was running around the planet telling people about Jesus. And I go to Romans chapter 1, excuse me, in verse 16, and I think about this. Because I think it was chapter 11, the first 16 verses we did last Wednesday in 1 Corinthians, which is very challenging, a very challenging portion of Scripture because there's a lot of deep meaning in that. And basically, I kind of summed it up. I kind of summed it up saying that God expects men and women to be who He created them to be for His glory. That's what God expects. God created us. He created us the way that we are, and we ought to go into the world, and people ought to be able to look at us and see that He exists because we're His creation. That's basically what we were talking about. So then I got to thinking, here's what Paul says about himself as a Christian man, as a person who's saved by the blood of Christ, who has the Spirit of God living in him, right? Who sold out to be the man that God sent him to be, that Jesus died for him to be, right? The man that God created him to be. He says in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then also to the Greek." And then in verse 17, I'll just give you that one. He says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." Now this, you know, be careful that we don't sit back and say, well, that was the Apostle Paul, and he was a great evangelist, and he was a great church planter, and he did some great things for the Lord. And all of those things would be true about Paul, the Apostle Paul. What also is true about the Apostle Paul is that he was a murderer of people who believed in Jesus before he became an apostle. Before he believed that Jesus is the Christ, he was running around the world killing people for believing that Jesus is the Christ. And he would be the first to tell you that he's the worst of all the sinners. Right? But yet here he is. He's saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to tell it to you. I'm not ashamed to teach it. I'm not ashamed to walk around in it. I'm not ashamed to let Jesus live in me. I'm not ashamed to let the whole world know about God through the way I live my life. And oh, how I wish we would all be able to live our lives every single day this way as believers. And isn't it a challenge, though, sometimes? Sometimes it's a challenge. You can admit that. It's just the way it is. Jesus said they're going to hate you because they hate me. It's not going to be easy to go into the world and preach the gospel and tell people about Jesus. Sometimes it's just easier to believe in Jesus and don't let anybody know because there's not so much friction in the world. But that's not at all what we're assigned to do. It's a privilege, y'all. This is. I'm just going to give you the big idea right up front. Before I even get involved in any points I'm going to try to make. It is a privilege, not only to be saved by the blood of Christ as a sinner. It is a privilege to be forgiven by a holy God, the one who created all of us. It is a privilege to accept his grace and be covered by his blood and enter into his presence on a regular basis to have a relationship with him and talk to him in his holiness, covered by the righteousness of Jesus. It's a privilege. You're privileged if you're saved. Hello? It's a special thing. I don't even think saying special to describe it is the right word. Right? Because what's happened is, through God's grace and through the blood of Christ and everything that happened on the cross and your free will decision to accept that truth by faith and repent of being a sinner, you were able to step into the righteousness of Christ and have his Holy Spirit exist within you. Now, when I was 16, I thought getting a driver's license was a privilege, y'all. That little plastic card means nothing compared to what's going on in me through the blood of Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? So just, I want you to have that in your mind as we discuss this, because I'm not going to tell you anything I haven't told y'all before. I'm not going to tell you anything the Bible doesn't say over and over again. This morning is just a reminder day. It's just a, hey, let's not forget about this. Hey, let's not let this become something that we know and put it aside and it is what it is. We say amen when it's time, and then we leave it alone after. And it doesn't, you know, this privilege comes with any person. It's available. Any person on the planet, no matter where they are, no matter where they come from, no matter what their race is or what their social status is, what their financial status is, doesn't matter if they're in prison for committing the most heinous crime, or if they're running around the world loving people in ways that you and I never dream of, the privilege comes through Christ. Being saved. Being a child of God. God being even able to look upon you. Because in our sin, he can't even look upon us, y'all. God cannot look upon the sinner. That's why we have to be covered by the blood of Christ. Every day we should be praising the Lord for this privilege. Every day we should thank God for this privilege, regardless of how the day is going, regardless of whatever stress is going on in your life. Even if it's the worst day of your life, if we're in Christ, we're still privileged. And we dare not be ashamed to be privileged. Doesn't matter what the world says about the privileged. You notice that the world really doesn't call Christianity a privilege. You ever notice that? They're worried about every other privilege in the world that they think are unfair or unnecessary or harmful to other people. Oh, they still hate Christianity, but they're not going to call it a privilege because they don't understand the relationship that they have been invited to because they're not aware of the special or the amazing interaction that we get to have with our Savior. So look at this. As we look at this, I want to break this down a little bit. All right? So the first thing is, it's a privilege. We're commissioned by the King, y'all. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In John chapter 20, verse 21, I'll read it to you. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Now, I hope that registers with you as a believer, as a person who's been walking with Christ. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Jesus himself sends you, sends me, sends all the believers. You don't have to worry about volunteering. He called you out and said, "I want you to go." One time that happened to an old dude in the wilderness. God came to him by way of a burning bush and said, "Hey, I want you to go do this. I'm sending you." He didn't ask him, "Do you want to go?" That's not how God does things. He said, "I'm sending you." And what did Moses say? He said, "Hamina, hamina, hamina, hamina." That's what he said. "I can't do it," is what he said. "I can't talk well," is what he said. "You don't know who you are." All kinds of excuses. And we've all read the account. God had his way, didn't he? Moses went, and Moses did what God sent him to do. Jesus sends you. He sends me. Where? Into the world. For what? To love people. To share the gospel. To praise God, to glorify God by who you are in Christ. People should see you, your existence, and know that God exists. There must be a God, because look at that person. Look how they live. Look what they do. Look how they are. Again, in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, it says, Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, look what he says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." All authority has been given to me. So when he says over in John that I just read in John chapter 20, "I send you," he has every authority to send you anywhere he wants to send you. And here's the great news. Here's the great news. Everybody gets chosen. Nobody's left out. You ever get picked last on a kickball field? You're the last one picked. And every kid knows what that means. Nobody wanted you on a team, right? Nobody picked you, but you have to be on somebody's team, so they have to take you because that's just the way it was. Basically, you flip a coin. Whoever loses the coin toss gets the last person. Well, there is no last person when it comes to Jesus sending people into the world. Every single one of you are chosen for the same reason, for the same purpose. It's a privilege, y'all. It's an honor to be picked by God to love, to forgive, and then send into the world to go tell other people the same message. It's an honor to carry the gospel into people's lives. You get to go into the world and help people and understand that God is going to change somebody's life and turn it upside down, just like yours was when you were saved. You get to be a part of that. You think Moses, if Moses would stop complaining long enough, he would have saw that God did some amazing things, right? And I think he noticed it, but it's like the times of frustration with the people or the times of frustration with the stress of the Egyptians chasing him down and all the things that God was doing, he got frustrated and he did one too many things out of frustration. And then guess what? God said, "Well, you can't go into Promised Land now." But he's in chapter 11, isn't he, of Hebrews, when we talk about what we call the hall of faith, right? You've been personally sent by the King of all kings. There's no higher authority than that, y'all. We belong to Christ. You're already sent. As soon as you're saved, you're sent. I think we need to try to encourage ourselves and each other to keep this in mind every day. When we get up, we start our day, we go wherever, do what, wherever we're doing, we're working, we're retired, we're hanging out, we're taking a day off, we're calling in sick, whatever we're doing, there's people around that God sent us to. Maybe we tell them about Jesus, or maybe we just spend time with them, we love on them, we share life with them in a way that honors God, that shows them that we're different than the world. Maybe they see something in you that they don't see in anybody else, which attracts them to you, which ultimately, as the relationship goes on, you get to talk about Jesus in a real way. What an honor that is. What a responsibility that is. What a privilege it is to stand on the planet and speak truth into somebody's life. Not just any truth. I'm talking, you're inserting the power of the kingdom of God into their lives. I mean, you're not really doing anything, right? Except for being available. God's doing it all. The power of God's doing it all. The power of the kingdom of God is doing it. The power of truth inserted into their lives does it all. And God uses you to make it happen. What an honor. What a privilege. You ever did anything one time and you just thought maybe I would never get to do it? I can't even think of an example. You just do it and you're so excited to do it and you had so much fun with it and you just felt like it was an honor to be able to do it. And you maybe say, I probably never get to do that again in my life. And it's a moment, it's a memory in your life and you just forever think about that. But guess what? There's no higher privilege there that you can obtain than being a Christian, walking around the world telling people about Jesus. And you get to do it every day. You get to do it every day, all day. You get to do it over and over and over and over again. And in today's world, all we have to do is push a couple buttons and we can send that message around the world instantly. I'm not saying you should only do it online. I'm saying every part of your life, ask God to help you make it be about carrying the message. Let's look at another thing. The message that we share, the gospel, the privilege that we carry, the responsibility that we have is to carry this message. It's the only message on the planet. The only message on the planet that brings salvation. It's the only message that saves anybody. No other religion has a message that will save your soul from eternal separation from God. There's no message like it. There's no other truth in this world. There's no more powerful gift or presentation you can share with anybody that's greater than the message we have. You get to go into the world and God gets to use you to change people's lives. Every day. Every moment. Isn't that great, y'all? Don't that get you excited? I'm working on this message, and I had to repent a bunch of times. Like a bunch of times. I'm just like, man, there's way too many times that I get caught up in frustration and worry or anxiety or whatever that I forget the privilege that I'm walking in. I'm not any different than anybody else. And I think we all carry that challenge every day because we're people. We live in a world that's coming at us. We live in a world that things happen. Not everything goes well. I'm out there this morning cooking pork chops and chicken for y'all, and I got praise music on my phone, and I'm sitting here trying to listen to this praise music, and I'm thinking about things that I'm concerned about. It's like a battle going on, trying not to burn up the meat while I'm praising God, and I'm trying not to worry about my problems. Not that I have great problems, but you know how it is, y'all. So here it is, Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 16. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. All right? He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. That statement means you don't have to make people get saved. You just offer Jesus to people. That's all you do. You give them the opportunity to choose. Because he said right after that, he said, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. That makes it urgent, y'all. What we've been sent to do, the privilege that we have, it's an urgent situation. Because people are leaving the world every day. Every single day, people leave this world. You and I don't get a promise for the next minute. Here's what else is written in Luke chapter 24, verses 46 to 47. He said, look, and he said to them, thus it is written, here's the power behind it all, y'all. This is our message. Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. And look, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed. That's what you're being sent to do. Proclaim Jesus died, buried, resurrected. Repentance is necessary so forgiveness can be had. And it says in his name, that's what you're doing, it all in his name to all the nations. You're not coming in your name. You're not coming in under your household. You're an ambassador for the kingdom of God. And you have an urgent, important message. And you should proclaim it without being ashamed. The world wants us to be ashamed of who we are. The world wants us to hide. They don't care if we believe. They just don't want us to say it out loud. They don't want us to be the noisiest in the room. I think Jesus sent us to be noticed, if you haven't looked at it closely. This message isn't just one option of many ways to get to God. This is the only way. It's the only option. It's the only way, y'all. There's no other way. There's no other plan. There's no need for another plan. You get to offer the only message that actually saves anybody. You know, I see our missionaries in India, and I know some other missionaries in places like Africa and around the world where they just have trouble getting good water, like healthy water in some of these places. Still in today's world, it's like that. And of course, there's plenty of ministries out there and plenty of parts of the body of Christ that are doing some really good work in supplying ways of getting water to these people. So they don't have to travel for days to get water that won't kill them. And they dig a well. Somehow they get a well dug and they got these pumps and they just come out in the middle of their community and can have fresh water all day long and they can all live without dying of bad water. But I'm confident that where they put those wells, there are still people that will not drink that water. I don't know why. Maybe not a bunch, but there's probably a few that just will not go to the fresh water. That's just a fact. But it doesn't change our privilege, does it? Doesn't change our responsibility. It doesn't change who we are. It doesn't change what we get to do. And you and I both, we all know people that aren't saved. We all know people that have heard about Jesus but just won't surrender. We all know people that have flat out rejected. We all know people that say they're saved but don't look like they're saved, don't live like they're saved. And we get to carry the message to all of them every day by the way we live, by the way we praise God, by the way we pray to God, by the way we repent, by the way we surrender, and by the way we talk and walk in Christ. Isn't that great, y'all? That's who we are. That's what we get to do. Christ died for our sins and he rose again. How many of y'all, here's a question. This is your on the way homer question. You answer this. If God put you in front of somebody today, and he would do this, and he has done this. Are you able to talk about Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection confidently? Are you able to talk about what you believe? Are you able to talk about the gospel in such a way that they get the information? Doesn't have to be perfect. You don't even have to quote scripture exactly. Are you able to look at somebody and say, here's what I believe about Jesus? I believe that he's the Christ. I believe that he was crucified on his own free will. I believe that he died. He gave up his own life for the payment of sin. And I believe in sin, we're separated from God for eternity. That's what I believe. And he, when he came out of that grave, he was resurrected by God. He came back to life in the flesh. And then when he went to be with the Father, we were given the Holy Spirit. All we have to do is believe that. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Are you able to say that to people? Are you able to talk to people that way? I don't mean every person you meet, you have to say all that stuff. I'm just saying, are you able and ready to say it when the time comes? Because some people have never heard it that way. Some people have never heard all the details of all of those things. And then the other thing you have to ask yourself is, are you able to invite someone to Christ? I know we all invite people to church. I'm not talking about inviting people to church. I'm saying, are you able to look at any person and say, do you want to know Jesus? Are you ready for Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? Because I can help you with that. And I can show you what the Bible says about making that happen in your life. We need to be able to do that, y'all. It may not happen every day in your life, but you got to, as a believer, you're sent to do that. You're sent to be ready to do that for somebody. How would it be if somebody you know, or maybe even a stranger, comes to you and says, how do I get saved? How do I know? And you, the believer, says, I don't really know. I pray for you. We talked about that Sunday school, right? You got to be ready for the Lord to use you as you're sent. You're sent to be responding to the Holy Spirit. You're not sent alone. God is with you. All right. I think I made that point. Nope. Let me go back. I changed it already. So here it is. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, and I'm gonna land this thing, and we're going to have our supper. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 says, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to the faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This is Paul writing a letter to Timothy as a mentor saying, look, the things that I've taught you so that you can be a disciple maker. I've taught you how to be a disciple so you can teach other people how to be a disciple. I'm a disciple. I'm teaching you how to be a disciple. You're intended to go teach other people how to be a disciple. Not exactly only how to get saved, but now you teach them how to walk in Christ. What happens after you get baptized? What happens after you commit your life to Christ? What happens after you repent? What happens the next Sunday after you've been baptized and everybody's done hugging you? And then you find out the whole world is still the same just because you got saved. Doesn't mean all your problems go away. What happens? We have to walk with people, teach them what it's like to follow Christ. Teach them what it's like for Satan to come after them. Because all Satan wants to do is discourage that commitment. All Satan wants to do is explain to them, Satan will tell the people a bunch of lies when they get saved. It's not true. See, it wasn't true. It's not what they said it was. It's not real. It's just a show. It's all for show. It's all lies from Satan. And it takes the church, the body of Christ, who are sent to help people to grow out of that. And learn how to get off of the spiritual milk and eat spiritual meat. Because in the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, when we get toward the Great Commission, in verse 20, it says, we're teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's what Jesus said. You're not just trying to get people saved, but you're also trying to teach them what Jesus commanded. You're trying to teach them what you've learned. Teach them what I've learned. Teach them what we've learned. When I invite people to our church and I talk to people about coming to our congregation, I tell them, hey, look, we're just trying to be like Jesus. We're trying to learn how to walk with Christ together. We're just a family of believers, and that's all we're trying to do is help people know Jesus. We're trying to help each other do it better. We're trying to help each other learn more about what it looks like. Why don't you come and join us? Why don't you come and learn with us? Why don't you come and be a part of what God's doing in our family? Right? Because it's not possible to do it by yourself. We were never intended to do it by ourselves, be a disciple. Because if you're a true disciple of Christ, if you're a genuine disciple of Christ, you will begin to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. You see, it's a generational thing. It goes on beyond after we're long gone from this planet. Until Jesus comes back, it's like throwing a rock in a pond and the ripple effect just goes out. There should be people that are making disciples 100 years after you're gone if Jesus tarries because of your witness. Because you witness to somebody, and then they witness to somebody, and then they witness to somebody, and somebody, and somebody, all the way down. That's how come we know about Jesus, y'all. That's how come we got to be saved, because from the time of Pentecost to now, people were making disciples that make disciples. That make disciples. That's what we're sent to do. You get to multiply life that outlasts who you are. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that great? We're privileged. Don't be ashamed of that. I'm not saying you are, I'm just encouraging you. Don't let any part of the world or the culture that we live in say you shouldn't be excited about the privilege that you have in Christ. You've been commissioned by the King who holds all the authority of the kingdom. The King, what kingdom? The kingdom of Almighty God. The only kingdom that will exist for eternity. Praise the Lord for that, because my kingdom wasn't doing so great. The one I built for myself. We've been trusted with the only message that saves. The most powerful thing there is to offer another person on the planet ever. And we get to have it in our heart, and we get to share it with somebody else and everybody else. And we get to be a part of an eternity of life-changing, disciple-making work. Isn't that great? Isn't that something, y'all? I'm just trying to wake us up a little bit. Not that we're sleeping, but I'm trying to get us to the point where as we move forward as a church and as believers, we don't lose sight of that, because it's easy to get caught up in the ways of the world. It's easy to get caught up with the problems of the world, right? It's easy. I mean, everybody's been stressed out one time or another in great ways. Everybody's had a bad day over something silly, right? Y'all know how easy it is to have a bad day over something that really isn't worth anything. But you get stressed out about it. So here we are, sent into the world. Why? Because people need Jesus. That's it. That's all it is to it. You don't have to get it perfect. You don't even have to be doing it right all the time. We're just trying to be excellent for Christ, knowing that we're not perfect people. Some of my darkest days, God sent people into my life. Sent people, believers. And if He didn't do that, I would not have survived. Like, literally would not have survived. He's done that for y'all. I don't have to tell y'all. Everybody's got a testimony about that here. I have no doubt about that. Some of my greatest days, some of my amazing mountaintop experiences, God sent His people to be a part of that too. Sometimes God sent them to keep me under control in those moments. Right? That's who we are. We're a family. We're a family of believers who are going into the world to make disciples because we're privileged to do so. Think of it as an honor. Keep it in your heart and your mind as the greatest thing God could ever have asked you to do. Because if we do that, then it will never be a burden to do. It'll never be a burden to tell somebody about Jesus. It'll never be a scary moment, fearful moment where I don't know, they might not like what I say. And you don't have to have that battle with Satan. Because you know, I'm standing here on behalf of the King. I'm standing here on behalf of the one who put His life on the cross for this person, whoever it is you're talking to. For the person you're looking at in their eyeballs, you're saying, look, I know the one who died for you. And He died for me. And if He can die for me, He died for you. And if you say that with a sour look on your face or a depressed attitude, they're not going to believe you. They're just not going to be like, why would I want that, God? Look at you. Right? We ought to be excited, y'all. We ought to be overjoyed about, ooh, let me tell you about Jesus. I'm glad. Get you another rib. I'm going to talk to you for a minute. Right? Get you a second helping of that pie. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Well, I really got to go. Okay, but it'll take about 5 minutes. Usually if they can stay after 5 minutes, they want more because you're giving them something way better than barbecue ribs and apple pie. Right? Y'all ready to eat? We're going to sing a song together and then we're going to be finished. If you're not saved, then you're missing out on the greatest thing, salvation. You're missing out on a relationship with the one who died for you. And I've already said it. I've already shared it with you. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you should repent of being an enemy of God. You should accept him as Lord and Savior and say it out loud. And then you should be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Why? Because that's what God, that's the way God laid it out. That's what God said to do. So that's what we do. And then the Spirit of God will come in and you will be an ambassador for the kingdom of God, and you also will be privileged. Let's stand together and let's sing.